He knows everything astronomical. We are talking about Dave Renicky. Welcome again, Dave.
All of the above. Thanks, Bill. Good to be with you.
And at the end of this, there's a little giveaway that you may want to be apprised of. We'll have a little question for you, and it won't be hard, Dave, will it?
Well, no, it's going to be an easy one. Look, someone's going to win 10 free tickets in a giant telescope raffle we've got going. The telescope's worth about $800, Bill, okay?
And you're giving it away. How can you afford that?
Well, I'm flushed with telescopes. We've got quite a few here. I actually sell telescopes, and I advise people on buying them. We show them how to use them.
All right, so it's like a deal that Woolies have with the Coca-Cola company. You buy a couple, you get one free, and you can give it away.
Yep.
I like that.
Yep. Why not? No, it's a good question, easy question, and the winner who gets that will put 10 free tickets in our raffle drawn at the end of the year, December 15, and what a great present for somebody. It's a large telescope. A 200-millimeter Dobsonian telescope.
DaveRenicky.com is the website that you should have bookmarked and perused when you get the opportunity. This is big news, Dave. We have never been able to penetrate that cloud layer of Jupiter, but you're saying astronomers now have the ability or will have the ability?
Yeah, now watch out. July 4, there's American spacecraft arriving at Jupiter on July 4. Typical America, huh?
They like to time everything for Independence Day, don't they?
They do. Look, we're going to have a look at this planet like we've never seen before. It's called Juno. Juno is the mission. We're going to be there for probably a year or two. Have a look at this, the atmosphere, the makeup of this planet, this mysterious planet called Jupiter. Jupiter is so big, it'll hold the Earth over 1,300 times. Now, it's a fact, and a lot of people find this hard to believe, that all the planets and all the moons in the solar system will fit neatly into Jupiter. Still with a little bit of room left over. It's a giant world. The mystery is, what causes the cloud layer to do what they do? The clouds are in bands, like temperate zones. Mm. You've got one band running one way at 300 k an hour. You've got another band below that at 165 k an hour. We don't understand that. We don't know what the giant red spot is. This is a massive storm we've all learned about at school. A massive storm that's been there for probably thousands of years, maybe even longer.
If you get a chance to watch that Ice Age Collision Course movie, there's the answer to the red spot in that.
There you go.
I won't spoil it for you.
Yeah. Well, this mission will penetrate the cloud layer eventually. We'll probe the upper atmosphere of Jupiter. We don't know what's below the cloud sea. It's probably about 1,000 k thick, made of methane and ammonia. But the question mark is, what is there below that? Is there a solid surface? Is it metallic hydrogen? Is it solid? Is it semi-liquid? We just don't know. So we'll know much, much more about Jupiter in the when this arrives on July 4.
All right, July 4. Looking forward to that date. And, of course, one of the big things about Jupiter is, and a question that's tried to be answered, is why did it never become a second sun in our solar system? Did something stop it forming?
Too small. This is a great question. A lot of people are under the impression that Jupiter could have and should have become a sun. Well, look, the answer is simply this. Jupiter is part of the makeup of the solar wind. When the sun was created, it was spinning very quickly and through. A lot of the material of the sun flew off or was thrown off and formed a disk around the sun, which eventually formed the planets. Now, each of the planets from that cloudy disk were formed. Now, Jupiter was formed first, we think, because it's got the greatest amount of material in it. It's the largest planet.
Yes.
But it wasn't big enough. There wasn't enough hydrogen gas there, Bilko, for it to compress down and become a star, much, much smaller than what's needed to become a true star. So it never was and never could have become a star.
Right, that's the reason. Thank you so much. And, of course, with Mars on our, I suppose, being shoved in our face every second of the day, you've got some stories about there's a case there to terraform Mars, which straight out without reading it, Dave, I'm thinking, why would you want to change a planet that, we don't know what microorganisms are there? Isn't it a bit like environmental destruction by going in and just imposing our will on a planet?
Oh, you betcha. Look, there's a big moral issue with this one. Do we have the right to interfere with the ecosystem of another world? If there's any life there at all, do we have the right to interfere with that? The answer is certainly no. Now, this is a dilemma that NASA faced. So we're on Mars. We've been there for 30-odd years now. And the rover has just picked up, well, the orbiter has told the rover it's picked up, evidence of what looks like could be flowing water. We're not sure. They want to try and send the rover over there. Now, the problem is this. If we do find a stream there, it's go going to mean that terraforming Mars and changing Mars and living there is going to be much easier. But what if that has animal life in it? What if it has fish life in it?
Yeah.
What if there's bacteria in there? It's still a form of life, and a lot of people are saying we shouldn't interfere with that. I don't know. I've got my point of view on it. I'm not going to really get into the details of it. You can cause arguments that way. But there is an issue in that regard. Do we really have the right to it? My way of thinking, Mars is a dead, dry, and a barren world. I don't think there was ever any life there. But the fact that there may be flowing water, it's a game changer because we need that. We need water to survive if and when we do go to Mars.
And Dave, still speaking of Mars, NASA want to use the rover to try and find potential water sites on the planet. Now, there's no doubt there is water there for sure.
Well, it looks like it. They found what looks like alluvial flows, evidence of a stream there or a series of streams flowing on the planet. It's not sure what this is. We don't know whether it's made by lava flows or whether there's actually water there, but the streaks seem to change colour, and that indicates there may be something flowing there and then not flowing, flowing and then non-flowing. So there could be a semi-continuous stream of water. Now, the rover is a fair way away from that. It only moves at about 4 kilometres an hour. It's not very quick. Getting there may be an issue, may be a time problem, but even if they did get there, they've still got to look at getting up a slope, a bank pretty high. And the problem with that, of course, is the rover could tip over. If it tips over, there's no way of putting it back or riding it.
Surely it's more solid than a Dalek.
It's got to be, yeah. And again, do we have the right to go over there and interfere with it? If there's water there and there's life in that water, we're going to contaminate it just by being there with a rover. I don't know. This is going to have to play out, and we're just going to see how all this does develop in time. My feeling is that there's not much on Mars to look at in the way of water.
Yeah.
Certainly not on the surface anyway. It could have gone underground, more than likely it has, but it's a great time when it just shows that we haven't really finished looking at Mars. Mars always throws a new surprise up every time we find something.
And if you're fascinated with Mars, the Matt Damon movie that was out last year, always good for a watch, because I think it's so scientifically close to the truth, it's not funny.
Yeah, you betcha.
All right, DaveRenneke.com, jump on that website, and here's your opportunity now to pick up a telescope courtesy of Dave. What do they have to do?
Yeah, look, very simple. They've just got to phone you with the right answer to this question. By the way, this is 10 free tickets in a giant telescope raffle we're drawing at Christmas time. This telescope package is worth around $800. And the question for you, a very simple one, we'll make it easy. What planet in the solar system is known as the morning star and the evening star?
Leave it on our website right now or on our Facebook page, and we'll get those 10 tickets and get you in the draw for that. Dave, thank you.
Thanks.